Welcome to the Winchester Apple Blossom version of the Bethel cast. I'm Pastor Dave Young along with
Brian Zaster.
And we are here with Mr. Apple Blossom himself, especially here at Bethel, Mike Stanfield. Mike, welcome, brother.
Thank you, Dave. It's happy to be here. It's great to be here with you guys this morning.
It's awesome to have you, man. And he looks all perfect in his pink and green and is ready to go. We were talking a little bit beforehand about how we're all the different things are happening, and Mike is really very active and involved in that, and has been for many, many years. It's he's one of the reasons and one of the great people that make the Apple Blossom Festival such a great gift, and to our community.
One of many, many people that work on Apple Blossom. Let's make that clear. I am a small piece of the puzzle.
as we all are in the kingdom of God.
Amen,
but
brother.
We still have a spot. We still have a spot, and you indeed have a spot, and I'm so thankful for who you are and what you do. So thank you, Mike, for being here, and Mike has a special place in my heart because Mike was part of the call committee that called me here, and he was the first person really from Bethel I ever met. And I'll never forget, Mike, I had showed up, had a tie on, and I was interviewing. And we walk in, and Mike looked at me and goes, "Oh, you don't need to be wearing that tie."
Nah.
Hey, we're laid-back people here at Bethel, and I just never forget that. And ever since then, that kind of smile and awesome sense that you have, you've just been a great great partner in ministry and great friend. So, Mike, I'm delighted to have you here, especially because we're going to hear a little bit of your story. And another thing about Mike that I think is awesome is several years ago, he came to me and said, "You know, I'm just going to preach, or I'm going to pray off the cuff. And I'm not sure I've heard a parishioner in my ministry pray off the cuff with as much passion and genuineness as you do. So well done for taking that risk, brother."
Pastor Dave, I grew up in a family of Baptists down in Southern Virginia, and my uncle was a Baptist pastor, and had several other uncles that were deacons in the church. So I had a lot of years of listening to some almighty prayers. And, you know, in my struggles in life, I have to talk to the Lord on a continual basis. So I feel like if we're in conversation with the Lord, that's what it is. It's a conversation with the Lord, and we need to just speak what's on our heart. And I found out that, you know, for a lot of years I was writing prayers. Like if I was assigned to do the prayers of the church, I was writing prayers. And Jesus cautioned us against flowery phrases and prayers like the Pharisees and the Sadducees pray. So I thought, you know what, I'm gonna speak from my heart. I love the Lord, and I love to give thanks and praise to Him for all He has done in this world and in my life. So it's, to me, it's just something that I enjoy doing it.
It's awesome, and it's a gift to us, so I wanted to make sure you know that. So tell us a little bit about your story. We know it, but tell us a little bit about who you are and your amazing bride and awesome children, and just kind of your story a little bit about who you are.
Well, Sharon and I have been married, it'll be 42 years this August. We were 10 when we got married.
Right.
Arranged marriage.
Arranged, yep.
You know, we were young. I was 22. Sharon was almost 21. We got married. I have three fantastic kids, Matt and Charlotte, and he lives in Charlotte. My daughter Sarah and her family also live down in the Charlotte area. And my youngest son, John, who most of the Bethel folks know, because actually Matt and Sarah were pretty much out of the house by the time we started going to Bethel. But and John is living in Fairfax and getting married
to the lovely Johanna.
So we're excited to welcome her into the family.
And that's great, because I know how close and how important family is. You have two awesome grandkids too.
I have two awesome grandkids, Caitlin and Logan. They're amazing. We just went down last weekend to watch Logan play t-ball, and man, that took me back to my days of working with the Little League up at Clearbrook. So that was a fun day.
Absolutely.
But you asked me about my story, and I alluded to it a little bit earlier. My mom's family is a North Carolina family. I grew up in Danville, right on the Carolina border. And they were very strong in their faith. So between my mother and my grandmother, I learned to love Jesus at an early age. And like so many people, we get into the high school years and college years, and particularly in my situation, because we didn't have the best situation at home. My dad was an alcoholic. He was abusive. And I got to the point where I would say in my dreams and in my prayers, you know, how can you let you, Jesus, you, God, how can you let this happen to this wonderful servant? You know, my mom, who has always been faithful and has always been a strong Christian, you know, it's funny because I even remember thinking, if you are who you say you are, which are the words that Satan spoke to Jesus when he was when he was tempting him. So I had that, you know, was Satan was working on me, you know, hey, if you know, being a Christian's all that great, how come all this is going on in your life? So I kind of turned away from the Lord, stopped practicing my faith, went through college in the early years of my marriage and business career, traveled a lot on business travel, which, you know, when it's on somebody else's dime, you can really live it up. And I did a lot of things I wasn't proud of, and I really struggled with some of my relationship issues. I had a bad temper that I had a hard time keeping in check. And Matt and Sarah had reached the age where we wanted to, you know, get them into Sunday school so they could get a, you know, a learning of God's word and what it means to be a Christian. So we started going to a church we were invited to by some friends. It was a Methodist church in our community. And slowly during that time, and I believe it's just from being in church every Sunday, I began to have a reawakening of my faith and realized that I was the classic footprints in the sand story. All those times when I thought God had abandoned me, he was really carrying me through the storm. And I had been blessed richly. I had all the things that I prayed for when I was a young boy in a bad home situation, thinking, man, I just wish I had a normal family situation. I want to just, you know, if I have kids, I'm going to do this and that. And here I was. I had a beautiful wife that supported me even when I was doing the things that I was not proud of doing. I had three great kids, well, two at that time, and then John was the blessing that came later. And I realized that the Lord did not abandon me. He had not abandoned my family. He had actually, he was carrying me through the storm, and he has blessed me so richly with the situation that I was in at that time. And I just tried to really focus on that. And then in the years since then, I've tried to hone that faith, because to me, Christianity is ultimately an individual thing. It's your relationship with Jesus. Certainly that is strengthened in community, in a congregation, and Bethel is a great example of that. We need to be together to build each other up and to build our faith up. But to me, the foundation of Christianity is your individual relationship with Jesus. And the more I was willing to open my heart to him and just turn the problems of my life, or what I thought were problems of my life, over to him, I found out that things went much smoother. I was able to learn how to control my anger and temper and be a more peaceful and loving person, and more considerate of other people's feelings, and, you know, how to not to recognize the things that really aren't that big a deal in this world. You know, we see so much going on, from earthquakes to terrorism to people that are just always in a state of war in the Middle East and in Africa and Pakistan, areas like that, Afghanistan. There's so much going on in this world. Hunger, you know, there's nothing in my life that compares to that. I mean, if I'm having a bad day, is it really a bad day? You know, so learning to just turn my eyes to the Lord and seek his guidance and seek his help and listen for what he's telling me has brought me to where I am today, and all praise and glory to him for the wondrous difference he's made in my life.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah,
that's my story.
Baptist preachers have certainly influenced. One thing you said that I really picked up on among a myriad of things there. But you said, wow, you know, being in church every Sunday actually changed your life. Hearing the word, and really it probably wasn't as much as church, but just availing yourself to the word. I'll never forget my sister graduated from college, and the preacher who was a professor of mine in seminary, his speech to the graduates was, go to church. As a Lutheran school, and he was just like, just be a part of it. You know, that was interesting, and I thought that was interesting that is powerful.
One of the things that I especially loved once we started attending Bethel back in 2000 was that we took communion every week. Mm. I had never been in the church in my life where communion was a weekly occurrence. It was always, you know, once a month or special occasions. And I truly, I like serving in church. I love reading scripture, praying, assisting in worship in any way I can. And part of that is because, as I tell Sharon all the time, the Lord has blessed me so richly. Anything I can do to help him out, to give back a little bit, I'm going to do. I'm not going to say no to anything that I perceive to be God's work.
Yeah.
But there's no greater joy I get than when I'm able to serve communion and stand in the front of the congregation and serve my brothers and sisters one-on-one and have that individual moment, make eye contact, share the sacraments with them. And it's just, to me, I treasure those moments.
That's wow. Yeah, I agree.
I had no idea, too, about a prayer story that blows my mind as I'm sitting here, about the struggles that you had as a young dad, a younger husband, and how authentic that is to share those things. That's just massive. And that you dare to hang on to faithfulness and struggle being part of what it means to be a person of faith. That's just beautiful. And honest, and amazing to hear that.
Well, you know, a lot of people struggle in their lives, and I just hope that by hearing that story, anyone that's in a bad place right now can realize that that's not where they have to live, that they're not boxed in there. They don't have to stay there if they just walk with Jesus and continue to turn their eyes towards Him and open their hearts to Him. He will lead them out of it. I guarantee it.
Yeah.
I guarantee it. Mm-hmm. Might not be on your schedule.
Yeah.
It might not be exactly the way you envision it, but trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord.
Indeed. Oh, my
gosh. So when we came to the community, one of the first things you did for me was to get a hold of a pink apple blossom shirt, which I wear this time of year especially, and my wife's like, wow, you've never had anything else as pink. So I'm thinking about today and about your life and about, you know, living and loving like Jesus now. Where do you find the greatest joy today in your work in the community and time with neighbors and friends in being a disciple? Where do you find the most joy out of all these things?
Well, where I find the most joy, I mean, we're talking about apple blossom. The thing I enjoy most about apple blossom is, be it at one of our parties or at the carnival or on the parade route, I just enjoy seeing the faces of happy people having fun and smiling. And I try to always reflect calmness and grace to people. Then a lot of times, you know, in any kind of crowded situation, there are people that are going to be angry or unhappy because of the way something worked out, or they thought they were going to get this and they only, you know. So I just try to reflect a sense of peace there.
Non-anxious presence.
Yeah, Sharon and I make it a habit of praying when we're out to eat, and we go out to eat a lot.
Yeah.
And it's funny because years ago, as we started this practice, it was like, well, this is kind of awkward, you know. We're sitting in a bar and we're having a cheeseburger and a beer, but now it's like it's weird if we don't do it. And there was a group of ladies Monday night that were having a toga party at the brew pub, and they had walked into the brew pub, and I came by to, I had another function next door. I walked in to see how their little thing was going, and I noticed a long table full of folks sitting on the other side of the bar from where these raucous ladies were having their party. And turns out it was the Bibles and Brew Bible study from Grace in there.
That's funny.
And one of my friends in there, one of these acquaintances in there, was talking to me about, well, they were praying and everything. And I said, well, yeah, you know. I pray all the time, don't you? You know, I have to pray. I have to talk to God every day just to get through the day.
Yeah.
And she said, well, it just seemed weird. I said, well, just, you know, kind of hold it down a little bit and let them finish and then go back to your party. I'm sure they understand. I said, after all, Jesus' first miracle was turning water into wine at a wedding party. So Jesus wants us to congregate and have a good time.
Sure.
You just, you know, be respectful and give thanks to him when it's appropriate to do so.
I love it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love it. Oh, yeah.
That's great stuff. I mean, I'm kind of listening to some of the, for me, the takeaways to toward you, from your journey of faith and in addition to really leaning into the struggle of the things that are painful, and especially when it feels like God is absent, maintaining a perspective of the faithfulness and a perspective of, you know, God is present in here, even especially now when I can't see that. And then the other part is just this idea of the joyful non-anxiousness. When people around you might be a little stressed because of things that might be big or small, but that following looks like being non-anxious in those crowds, showing joy, showing grace, in those normal little things, as we'll see in Outblossom of the Weekend, because there's going to be a lot of stress. There's going to be a lot of times when people are like, oh, I didn't get my place in line, or someone took my chair, that seat, you know. Remembering that we have a God of grace and love, and everything else will be
Amen.
Taken care of.
Amen. Well, Mike, this is beautiful, brother, and I knew it. I knew how awesome it would be to have you here sharing your faith story. And as always, Mike, you did not disappoint. So thank you for being here, brother.
Thanks.
And we appreciate you. And I was going to ask, would you close us with prayer?
Absolutely.
Can I put you on the spot? But I know you can do it. So Mike's going to pray us out of here.
All right. Good and gracious Lord, we give thanks to you for all the wonders of your creation, for your presence in our lives on a daily basis. And we know that whenever we think you're far away, that's just our mistake. You're right there with us. You're guiding us along the way. All we have to do is reach out and grab your hand, Lord. We thank you for this wonderful time in our community when we can all get together and have fun. We thank you for this wonderful community of faith at Bethel. May you continue to bless us and guide us. And we thank you especially for Pastor Dave and Brian and the wonderful leadership they give us all. So, Lord, just continue to bless us. Thank you for this beautiful day, and let it all be to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thanks, Mike. And happy bloom, everybody. Happy bloom. Bye.